more time.
Told your pastor that the song I'm singing tonight was the first song I ever sang as a solo when I was 9 years old. And he said, boy, that must be an old song.
Studying about Ruth, and when she decided to leave
her land and follow Naomi and go to a new land. That's what she had to do, wasn't it? She had to surrender all to go. And the Lord gives rest. And that's what we find in Ruth chapter 3 this evening, the rest that God has for us and rest he had for Ruth. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?'" And the last verse of chapter 3 says, "And then said she, 'Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until you have finished this thing.'" And so we see rest beginning of the chapter. We see rest at the end of the chapter. And as I said this morning, it seemed like an appropriate topic with Labor Day being tomorrow. There's rest in the Lord. Where do you find rest? Well, some people find rest on the sofa, and some on the recliner, some in the rocking chair, maybe with a book, some on a hammock. Some people find rest in a deer stand. Some people find rest at a ball game. Some people find rest in a garden. There's rest in the Lord. And Ruth had a great need for rest. Think about what had come to that point in time in her life, how she had been working in the field. She had been caring for her mother-in-law. She had been bearing the hurt of widowhood and the memories of her husband and her family that she had left back home. The fact that she had no children, she needed rest. And the Lord knew that, and he's going to provide rest for her. And the word rest in Hebrew that we see here in Ruth chapter 3, it's used in many different ways. This word rest sometimes refers to what we usually think of, the absence of movement. Sometimes this word rest has an idea of finality, something that has been completed, which the Lord rested when he completed his creation. The rest is also used for victory. It's used for salvation. It's used for wholeness or a state of well-being. Rest is used for security, a place to settle down, a home at rest. And all of those things kind of tie in together. And as we look at rest this evening, we're just going to look at two aspects, the reason for rest and the relationship of rest. And the rest that Ruth finds is in a relationship with Boaz. And this is a picture of Christ and the church and the rest that we have in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the teachings of Scripture and the rest that is ours when we surrender all to you, even as Ruth did, and trust you, even when we don't fully understand all that's going on around you. You give us rest or peace in our hearts and lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at the reason for rest, there are three I'll share with you. First of all, there's hope. And remember from Ruth looking at her past, and she was poor. She's coming to a land with nothing. There had been poverty, famine in the land, bringing the poverty. She had had the pain of losing her husband. And so she's looking for hope. And God's going to give her that hope. And with that hope comes rest. Well, there's going to be some help that comes along that provides this rest for her. Boaz is going to love her. He's going to provide for her. He's going to care for her needs. He's going to protect her. And this is the picture of what Christ does for us. He cares for us. He provides for us everything that we need. Our hope is in Christ. Our help is in Christ. And the picture that is given here, this rest, is in the context of marriage. And Ruth is going to find rest in marriage there. And that's what help is. Marriage is helping one another. If a marriage is not helping each other, sometimes you hear people say, "What is the leading cause of divorce?" And usually people will answer, there's one of two things. There's either adultery or finances. They say those are the two causes. But if you want to just narrow it to one, it's selfishness. And so whether the selfishness leads to immorality or whether it leads to finances or whatever, selfishness, because marriage is about helping one another.
together. And selfishness will destroy a marriage. Selfishness will destroy a relationship with Christ. That's why we must deny the flesh. If we start following the way of the flesh, if we don't, as Brother Ray was sharing with that song, if we don't forsake those worldly pleasures that appeal to the flesh, then we're going to mess up the rest that God wants us to have. And then also the home. She's going to come to Boaz, and God has a place where she will now belong, and she'll call her own. And whenever God saves us, He gives us His rest. He puts us in a place where we belong. And here, is for her, it's after a long day, you know, going in the field, and she's going to come, and she's going to find rest. And there's rest only in the Lord. He is our hope. He is our help. And He is our home. And we have a home prepared for us. And God gives us that wonderful rest. And it's through a relationship. And so that's what we're going to focus on tonight, the relationship of rest. This relationship is moving from that of a servant to a more personal relationship. We're in Ruth chapter 3, beginning now at verse 2, since I read verse 1 earlier. It says, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, and whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, and make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." And we'll see some customs here, and I'm sure you're familiar with the book of Ruth and some customs, Hebrew customs that are foreign to us as Americans here. But this relationship, there are 10 aspects that I'm going to share with you tonight of relationship with Christ that's pictured here. And first of all, it's cleansing. In verse 3, Naomi tells Ruth, "Wash thyself." What a blessing that song was this morning, the choir sang, "Wash me now." Because if we're going to have the right relationship with God, there has to be this cleansing. 1 John 1, 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so the blood is applied the moment we get saved, but also that blood continues to be applied whenever we confess our sins, and He cleanses us. And if we're going to have the rest He wants us to have in this relationship of Christ and His bride, there has to be a cleansing. So the second thing is in this same verse, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee." And so the second thing is to anoint there. In Revelation 8:4, it says, "And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God of the angel's hand." And God anoints us. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "Now He which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us," is God. So God anoints us. There's this anointing. There's this ointment. And all of my points tonight will have C. And so I couldn't think of anything that begins with C other than Chanel number 5. Being anointed there with this sweet fragrance there. The Lord anoints us there. And so here's Naomi saying, "Okay, Ruth, you go put on some of this Chanel number 5 and you go over to Boaz's house there." And so in this relationship, God wants us to have this sweet smelling fragrance. Of course, incense in the scripture has to do with prayer, doesn't it? And whenever we pray to God, there's just sweet smelling fragrance to the Lord. Well, the third thing is also in verse 3. So Naomi says, "I want you to go wash yourself, go anoint yourself, and put thy raiment upon thee." And that was an easier C. That was the clothing here. And so now she's going to Boaz, and she's going to look different than she did when he saw her in the field. Now, she is not dressing differently to be seen. because she's going to him at nighttime. Later you'll see he awakens and he finds someone there and he says, who is that? It's so dark he doesn't know. So the new raiment is not to impress him there, but it's because the occasion is different than it was when she was in the field. And so is it when we come to worship the Lord. There's a different occasion when we come to worship there. And so here is Boaz, a picture of Christ, and she's coming before him, and she's having a change of clothing there. And Naomi says, don't make yourself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Wise counsel. Don't mess with a man while he's eating, you know. Let him finish his meal first there. And so whenever we come to church, it's not to be seen. And so with Ruth changing her clothes, it wasn't to be seen. There we change clothes when we get ready for bed. We want to have something that's lightweight and comfortable there. Revelation 6:11 says, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Notice the white robes, the clothes, and the rest that's here. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And so he's talking about people being killed, and he's talking about finding rest in the white robes. And so regardless of the circumstances around us, God gives us these white robes the moment we get saved. He clothes us in the righteousness of Christ there. And so he washes us, he anoints us, and he clothes us. So all of these things that Ruth is doing in preparation to go to Boaz, we see that our kinsman redeemer, Christ. And whenever we go into the presence of God, we go being able to pray. We go and he does the cleansing for us. He anoints us with his Holy Spirit, and he clothes us so that we can be an effective tool for him. Well, verse 4. We move and we see this relationship also involved her conduct. In verse 4 it says, and it shall be when he, Boaz, lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And so this was a private meeting, and she goes there, and she is at his feet. She's not doing something for public show, and she's not even fully understanding whatever she's doing. She's listening to Naomi, and she's doing what she says. She's trusting her mother-in-law. And whenever we go and sit at the feet of Jesus, as Ruth was here at the feet of Boaz, we go to worship. We go to learn, like Mary did at the feet of Jesus there. And so here's a picture for us. And so she's waiting until he lies down. He's going to go to sleep, and then she's going to quietly go in. And then verse 5, she said to her, Ruth said to Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do there. And so she's going to be obedient here. We see this custom that Naomi says, everything that he says to thee, do. And here she is in a new life. She is in a new country. She has new customs. Everything has changed in the life of Ruth because she is now one of God's children. And so whenever we get saved, there are a lot of things that are new. 1 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. And she has this new life. Luke 4:16 says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they stood up for to read. And so they had this custom of going and worship on the Sabbath day. We have a custom of coming on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's our custom to come and worship there. And it's a good thing. And they had a custom too. And the custom was that Boaz was going to tell her what to do. She didn't know she was going to depend on someone else. But notice her commitment in verse 5, as I read it earlier. She said to Naomi, "Everything you tell me to do, I'll do." She didn't say, "What if I get caught? What if they see me? We're not married and I'm here with this man. What are people going to think?" You know, she could have asked a lot of different questions, but she was trusting and she was committed there. She was fully obedient. She was fully surrendered, but she wasn't fully understanding, but she was trusting. And trusting God and being obedient and surrendered is much more important than understanding. We will have more understanding as we go farther on the path that God has us to go. I've often used the illustration because it explains it so well, that of a car at night with the headlights. You know, you can't see all the way to your destination, but you can see just far enough to get, and the more you go, the more light you see. And so as we are obedient and committed, as Ruth was, then God will shed more light as we move along there. It may not be convenient. It may not be enjoyable. You may not understand it, but she was committed. Now verse 6, "And she went down unto the floor, and she did." In my Bible, I had those words, "went and did," Mark. She went and did. She was obedient here, there, in her commitment to the Lord. She went and did what, according to all that Naomi had said. Verse 7, "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself." Must have had some kind of dream. God may have nudged him a little bit. And he wakes up in verse 8, says, "And behold, a woman is lying there at his feet there." And verse 9, he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid." Notice what she said. "Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." She didn't fully understand what she was saying. She was following the instructions of Naomi. And when she says that, this is a ceremonial proposal. She's proposing to Boaz, and she is asking him to be her groom there. And like I said, that's not usually our custom. It might be with some people here. Your wife may have done the proposing, but normally it's the man who does that there. And so think of the picture. She's asking Boaz to be her groom. And think of whenever we get saved and the Lord convicts our hearts and we ask Christ to be our Savior. And he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And when someone asks Christ to be the bridegroom in that spiritual relationship, he will turn no one away. And so now, after he meets this need of salvation and the marriage is there, he's going to provide many other things for her. Isn't that what Christ does for us? He saves us, and then so many more things he provides for. And so after the proposal, we come to verse 10. And he said, this is his response to the proposal, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter." And so now we see his commendation to her. He is going to commend her. And there are four commendations that he gives her in these two verses, verses 10 and 11. So let's look at those four commendations. First of all, he commends her for her treatment of him. Verse 10, it says, "For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." And she had been kind to her mother-in-law. She had been kind even to Boaz there and asking him to be her groom there. And we think of kindness. It doesn't cost anything to be kind, does it? The golden rule. I often tell students, you know, if every student would abide by the golden rule, if everybody would treat other people the way they wanted to be treated, such as one teaching of Scripture, that if everybody in the world obeyed it, boy, we wouldn't have any issues at all, would we? If everybody treated others the way they want to be treated. Remember what the name Ruth means? We saw that in our first chapter. The name Ruth means friend. And so here is a friend showing kindness, and he commends her for her kindness. The Scripture says, be ye kind one to another. It's a command. And Ruth is commended for being kind. Well, she's also commended for her tenacity. In verse 10, he says, you have not followed young men, whether they were poor or rich. And here she is as a widow and hoping to remarry. And she could have had a younger man. I don't know the age of Boaz compared to the younger men. But he says, these distractions that could have been there, that could have affected your decisions, you didn't allow these things to distract you, and you stayed true to your commitment. That is what Naomi has told her to do. And he commends her for not getting off course and following after others. And that is one thing we need and our commitment to the Lord, that he might commend us for our kindness and for our tenacity and also for our testimony. Look at her testimony in verse 11. He said, now, my daughter, fear not, I will do thee all that thou requirest. He said yes. There. It was posted on Facebook. He said yes. You've seen that. Yeah. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Everybody knows. Here she is in a new land, but everybody knows about her commitment. What a wonderful testimony when the entire city knows of her testimony for the Lord. She was newly saved, but she was living it, and she had a great testimony as a new believer. And how did she learn to do all of this? Well, it doesn't tell us specifically, but don't you have an idea that maybe Naomi discipled her? And Naomi is teaching her what she should do with Boaz. And so all the city knowing about her testimony and what she's done and her kindness and her tenacity, and he commends her for one other thing at the end of verse 11, that thou art a virtuous woman. For her traits, she had the traits of loyalty, the trait of obedience, and the trait of diligence. And she had been loyal to her mother-in-law. She had been obedient to do what she said, and she had worked in the field, and she, from morning till night, remember, she had taken just a short break there. And this is the same word as virtuous in Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? When this word virtuous is used of men, it's usually translated strength. Sometimes it has to do with armies and the strength of armies there. When it's referring to women, it's usually translated as virtuous there. In Proverbs 3:4, it says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And here she is. She has favor in the sight of God and man. And Boaz is commending her for her relationship with God and her relationship with her mother-in-law. And we also should have a commendation, as Proverbs 3:4 says, in the sight of God and man. Well, we move on to the next aspect of this relationship, and that is the command. Notice what he tells her in verse 13. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well. So Naomi says, there's a time for you to go. And when you get there, you're to uncover his feet and you're to lie there. And he'll tell you what to do. And now you have to wait. And so it is in our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we have to go. Sometimes we have to tarry and wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. She had done her duty. She had done what she was told to do. And now, as we say, the ball is in Boaz's court there. It's out of her control now. She's done everything she could, but he's going to fulfill that kinsman redeemer. And whenever we come to Christ and we say, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, the ball's in his court, so to speak. And he saves us. He won't turn us away there. And he just loads her up with barley, and she goes there, and she's able to share it with Naomi. Isn't that what the Lord does for us when he saves us? He just blesses and gives us more, not so that we can heap it on ourselves, but so we can share it with others as well. And so, continue reading in verse 13, the rest of the verse. Naomi said, let him do the kinsman's part. Let him do it. You can't do that part. This is all you can do. It's up to him for the rest. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Notice in verse 13, as Boaz is talking and telling her to tarry, notice the words if and will in verse 13, that if he will. And so the kinsman redeemer had to be able to redeem, then he had to be willing to redeem. And we think of Christ our Savior. He had to be able to save. He had to be sinless, and only Christ is, and he had to be willing to leave heaven and come and die for us. And so Boaz says, you wait here, and if he's willing, then he'll do the kinsman part, but if not. So verse 14 says, and she lay at his feet until the morning, and she arose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor there. And so this was the ceremonial proposal that I mentioned. There was obviously nothing immoral at all going on. And so she's going to go back. And verse 15, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Well, he just gave her an abundant supply. You know what the Lord does to us? He just lays it on us, doesn't he? You know the song, if it keeps getting better and better, O Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, it's getting better and better for Ruth, because she's loyal, she's obedient, she's trusting there. And so, verse 16, she came to her mother-in-law, and she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And this is the last part of the story. This is the conversation. She told all. Here's Ruth going back to Naomi, and she's saying, I did what you said. I went and I did lie down there and said what you told me to say. And he said, there's a nearer kinsman. And let's read on in verse 17. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said, go not empty to your mother. The Lord never sends us away empty, does he? Just like Boaz, he fills our cup. Verse 18, and then she said, sit still, my daughter. Naomi's giving the instructions to Ruth once again. She says, sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. And so it's not over yet. She's got to wait. How's this going to end? She's got to keep on trusting. And then she says, for the man will not be at rest. Boaz is not going to have any rest until he have finished the thing this day there. And so here she is sitting still. She's waiting there. And there's a time to go, there's a time to sit still, and she's waiting patiently, she's tarrying, she's going to see what Boaz does, and that word finished. Naomi says he's not going to rest until he has finished the thing. And here, can you imagine Naomi and Ruth, the excitement, the gratitude, the anticipation, waiting to see what's going to happen here. And Boaz is certainly going to finish it, just like the one of which he is a type, Christ, one on the cross. He said, "It is finished." He finished it as well, and he provides everything that we need. And so in our rest and relationship, it indeed is finished. We have new life, and we have a new hope. Just as Ruth had a new life, she had new hope, she had everything provided for her. She was trusting even in the darkness at midnight, and God was answering all of her prayers and meeting her need and giving her rest. And that's what God does for us. Christ is our kinsman redeemer, and it's finished, and we can rest in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful picture of salvation through this beautiful story of Ruth and Boaz. Help us as we conclude it next week that we would not miss anything in it that you have for us, the lessons from the scripture. Father, we thank you that Christ is our kinsman redeemer, that he is our bridegroom, and that he takes care of every need, and indeed we can find rest in him because he has finished it all for us. And we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.